Education podcast on BBC Sounds. Hit subscribe now to get new episodes as soon as they're released.
Five Live Drive.
Very, very excited about the next 20 or so minutes on the programme here on 5 Live. It's Claire McDonald and Johnny Iannson. We're talking Northern Soul. It was a soundtrack for a generation in the north of England and the Midlands in the 70s. We're talking sweaty dance halls, flares, singlets, gym bags and, of course, talcum powder. It was 50 years ago that the legendary Wigan Casino opened its doors. For many, it was a defining venue for the entire scene. Five decades later, though, there is a rebirth, or maybe it never went away full stop, fueled by kids whose parents partied all night and who hold the same desire for that golden vinyl or urge to dance harder, kick higher or spin faster.
There's plenty of you out there. You've all been sharing your Northern Soul memories, your favourite Northern Soul tracks. This is Brenda Holloway, Can't Hold the Feeling Back. What a tune. At the vanguard of this resurgence are two gentlemen in the studio with me now, Deptford Northern Soul Club, a pair of Soul Craze friends, Will Foote. Hello, Will.
Hello, good evening.
And Lewis Henderson. Hi, Lewis.
Hello, how's it going?
Very well. And we are delighted, I'm sure you two are delighted. We are in the company of legendary Wigan Casino DJ Richard Serling, who helped create the iconic sound of Wigan in the 70s. And ACs, welcome, Richard.
Hello, Claire. Lovely to be here. Oh, Johnny as well. You've sounded very passionate about the music on the drive-in. It's been really great to hear that.
We are passionate about it. There's just something about this music. I know Will and Lewis would love to say hello to you, Richard.
Please, yeah, let's meet. We've never actually met face to face.
Richard, you can see you on the screen in the corner of the studio.
Yes, I can see you as well. Hopefully we'll get to shake hands one of these days at a venue.
We'll take you up for some tea. Yeah,
oh, definitely. Listen, let's start then with the legend that is Richard. I mean, Richard, talk to us about how it all began and how exciting it was back then and why you felt there was this just absolute need for this kind of night in this kind of place.
Well, I think when you say Wigan's 50 years old, it is almost 50 years old in September, actually. But I was just thinking earlier on, it's 50 years probably since I started DJing, because my first DJ set was at a club in Bolton in April 1973. So here we are 50 years later. And I got into it by accident. I was what you'd call a junk shopper. So I'd go around second-hand stalls and what have you, looking for records. And very fortunately, I was offered a job going to America looking for records in 1973. And because I ended up with a box of, I don't know, a couple of hundred records, I ended up getting a gig as a DJ. And the rest of it sort of just went from there. But before that, I'd been a fan of the music, initially aware of the Twisted Wheel in Manchester, which is where most people would agree the whole thing started, although it was a more contemporary feel then. It wasn't chasing records that were made 3,000 miles away. It was records that had been released in the UK but got no coverage whatsoever from any radio station or the media. But then Blackpool Mecca opened a lot of people's eyes, not an all-nighter, but opened a lot of people's eyes to artists that we'd never heard of before. Who's J.J. Barnes, for instance? Who's Eddie Parker? And it became a real chase then to find these amazing records. The Golden Torch in Tunstall carried the flame through 1972, and I'll get shot if I don't mention the Catacombs in Wolverhampton, which, although never an all-nighter, was tremendously important between 68 and 74 in discovering a lot of these records. So when Wigan came along, as it did after a void had been created by the closure of the Twisted Wheel and bizarrely the Golden Torch in Tunstall, for it was basically residents objecting to the noise there. You mentioned Edwin Starr earlier. Edwin Starr went to court to try and save the Golden Torch, but he was unsuccessful. So everybody was looking for somewhere to go. And a couple of lads that were regulars at the Golden Torch went to the Wigan Casino management and said, you really ought to try something here, you know, it'll work. And it was really just fantastic from the very first all-nighter on the 23rd of September 1973.
Wow.
600 people turned up, and it's just gone on from there. And, you know, without wishing to talk too much about it, I think Wigan has been very, very important in 8 years' worth of discoveries there that, you know, are still chased by collectors and DJs right around the world.
Well, listen, we couldn't have you here without, sorry, Johnny, wrestling the Northern Soul jukebox away from Johnny and putting it into your hands, Richard. So what would you like? You're going to drop us in some tracks. What are you going to play for us first?
Well, there's a couple here. I didn't know that any of these were in here, by the way. There's two of them that are very close to my heart. The first one is a record that I bought off a guy in a car park in Oldham for £3 in 1973, and it became one of my signature tunes at Varvars and Wigan. And every DJ needs their exclusives and their signature tunes. So this is one from a group called The Jades called I'm Where It's At.
Shoulder dancing going on in the studio down here. Let's bring in Wilford and Lewis Henderson again. Deptford Northern Soul Club. When did you two get into Northern Soul? Did you meet through Northern Soul? What's going on? Do you want to take that one, Lewis?
So when we were kids, we grew up together. We went to like a nursery group together. And my dad had a jukebox in our house. And on this jukebox, he had all of these amazing records by like Luther Ingram and Gloria Jones. And when we were kids, we just didn't really know it as Northern Soul. We just knew it as like Black American music, and we fell in love with it, and it's really kind of gone on from there.
And you two, I can't believe you met at primary school or nursery even.
We've known each other since we were two. Yeah,
way back. So when did you know that you both love this kind of music and you thought we've got to do something with this?
Well, our first kind of experience of it that we can remember together was our first gig. We saw James Brown. That was our first gig.
Wow, you are cool.
In Hyde Park, supporting the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Our dads said, you'll thank us one day.
Yeah. So,
thanks, Dad.
Yeah, now you
can. Here we are. Yeah, so basically, after university, I was in university in Ireland and Lewis was in London, and we kind of came together and wanted to do something musical. Lewis had been living in Leipzig and we'd been going to nights in Berlin. And he was like, right, we know this music inside out. We both love it. We've got to go and do something. And it was never meant to be anything more than just us kind of having some sort of creative output in South London in our kind of mid-early 20s.
Yeah, and tell us how it's taken off. I mean, it's exploded. Where did it begin and where is it at now?
Well, it's been a slow burner, to be honest. We haven't rushed it. We started in Bunker Club on Deptford Broadway, and maybe 100 people could come in, and every month 100 or so people would come in. And we did that for 3 years, and then doors sort of opened and people started enjoying it a bit more. So demand increases, you move to a bigger venue, and then suddenly, you know, we have residencies at the Moth Club in North London and Yes in Manchester, and we're lucky enough that we can take it around the country and, you know, share the music and talk to people about the music. It's I think that's the thing that we love the most is, you know, we've been listening to your stories for the last 3 hours. It's that's the thing that we love, is being able to share in it, if you see what I mean. Rich's point there about Wigan Casino being important, I can't tell you how many people come up to us and say, my dad, my granddad, my uncle, aunt were at Wigan Casino back in the day and they said I should come along. So we owe so much to it, and it's really important that it's
remembered. And to Richard, how does that make you feel, Richard?
Oh, it's a great compliment. At the time when Wigan was going, we just saw it as another step along the way, really. The beauty of Wigan, I think, was the way that the music evolved there as well, because in 1973-74 it was predominantly just 60s music we were playing there, which was on the Falls dancers. But by the time it got to 1980-81, we'd started to bring in a rare type of modern soul groove as well. So across that 8 years, it was pretty amazing, and I don't think many of the clubs have lasted that period of time. But did we realize at the time that we were creating history? Probably not. And it's true to say that Northern Soul did take a dip in the 1980s for a variety of reasons, but right now it's stronger than ever. It really is, and it's a truly national phenomenon. Going to play.
Yeah, let's have some more music.
Let's resist the originals. Marvin Gaye's favourite group at Motown, and I was lucky enough to bring them in to Manchester about 20 years ago for a show. They're brilliant. You know, the thing
about this, Richard, and it's bittersweet, is that you had this enormous scene with thousands of people turning out every week to listen to this music. You had all of these predominantly poor black musicians in America that had no idea that their music was reaching so many pairs of ears.
And the sad thing is now that many of them would never ever know that. When, you know, when we were playing their records at the casino, they would, by then would have given up any hopes of progressing their careers. Mm. And some of them, with people like Eddie Crowsdale, as Elaine mentioned earlier on, at Cleethorpes, were able to come into the UK. So we were able to see the likes of Ray Pollard, Patty Austin, who, you know, so many artists have been here, but there's many, many more that to this day would have gone to their graves not knowing that 3,000 or 4,000 miles away, 1,500 kids were dancing to their music in the north of England or at the Midlands.
I wanted to ask Will and Lewis, because the idea of much of what the DJs played with this notion of exclusivity, of people not having the records but one or two of you as DJs, but obviously streaming has changed everything, Will and Lewis. And is there still that idea that people having rare discs, rare 45s are kind of the king of the DJs, or is it done now off streaming services?
No, very much. Vinyl is still the forefront. There is so much that isn't on streaming services, and discovering gems like that that you can play out and people will lose their minds to, that haven't had that on a Northern Soul playlist on a streaming service, is still much more enjoyable to us than kind of us trawling through the internet looking for songs to play.
So is there still this kind of exclusive scene of trading records and trying to find 45s?
Yes. For our generation, you know, some of these releases are £300-£400, and there's no way you can even start collecting at that point. And it's hard, but then in a way it kind of makes it better, because if people pick up, like Rich was saying earlier, at junk shops or you know, record stores, the rarer stuff, they can find a track out of nowhere that could instantly become a classic on a dance floor, and the dance floor will make it a classic.
That's a wonderful thing. It's organic, isn't it? It comes from the people. Listen, you two have both chosen a track as well. So, Lewis, would you like to introduce yours? What have you chosen for us?
We've chosen an exclusive one here, which is The Ambers, I'm So Lonely.
Okay, let's have a listen.
With radio being a non-visual medium, I have to describe Richard's face. This nodding, knowing, yeah, boys, you got it right with this one.
Yeah. You passed the test.
That would have been a floor filler at the casino, no doubt about it. I've got a bit green here. It's a great record. They're such a great group as well, but that's a full production, isn't it? It's not some obscure demo.
Tell us why it's an exclusive, then.
Well, we have this reissue label where we go and reissue those tracks that we can't afford on vinyl and put them back on vinyl for people to enjoy. And when we get sent the master tapes through from the labels that own all this music in America, there's often 10 tracks on each tape for the one that we want to release. So, again, there's, you know, 9 tracks on that tape that have never seen the light of day. And in the same way Richard's saying that, you know, there's so many artists that haven't been able to get their full appreciation in the UK on the scene. There's so many artists that recorded so much that was never even released.
Wow.
So, I mean, we are literally scraping the surface. There is so much music out there. And then, you know, people in the earlier than us have been to all these amazing places. Eddie Crowsdale especially, you know, has reissued so much great music and kind of given life to the scene.
And do you get permission to do that? I mean, you have to, I guess that's it quite complicated?
It was to start with.
Yeah.
Now it's just a process. But yes, it's absolutely. It's making sure the money goes to the right places, the artists, the publishers, and making sure that everyone along the way it's done legally and professionally, rather than, you know, there is a history of what we call bootlegs.
You are like musical archaeologists, aren't you?
I'll take that.
Yeah. Very nice. That's what you're doing. You're just chiseling it out. It's fantastic. Lewis, shall we hear you? No, we've had your one. Will, what's your choice?
Oh, that was actually my choice.
That was your choice.
Sorry.
Well, you picked two tracks, haven't you? So what's the second track?
I think it's for Quotations, isn't it?
I think we've got a Quotations. Here it comes.
My neighbor slanders my name. I don't have to worry. I've got
getting the nod of approval from Richard
I mean, he's got his eyes closed. He's leaning back in his chair. It's blissful. Richard, I just wonder kind of why there was that fervent passion for it. And I guess maybe the connection of these sort of maybe poorer, working class northern kids that felt this sense of affinity with maybe musicians going through something similar in America?
It's a deep subject, that, and one that I've always found pretty difficult to actually describe. But of course, that was the case. It was predominantly in the north of England, and it was an escapism every weekend from a job, you know, on a conveyor belt or whatever people were working on. So I think, you know, the friendships made on the Northern Soul scene at the casino have lasted a lifetime. And I often refer to the music as the music that loves us back, because it's music that we can all identify with. It's rare that you'll hear a record and you think, well, that's, I just can't. It's actually, you know, you just live with the artist and you can associate. So I can fully see why the loyalty that exists in Northern Soul is so very high.
And Will and Lewis, what about the modern day incarnation of it then? Because, you know, youth culture is usually at the vanguard of being progressive and way ahead of whatever's been before, but actually we're looking back 50 years. So what's the attraction to modern youth culture?
I think Richard's right. I think it is this togetherness, and I think our club nights have seen lots of people who are having just like such a lovely time dancing together in one room. And I think Northern Soul brings people together. I mean, it's quite sad, but the defining aesthetic of our time is normcore. And I feel like Northern Soul becoming popular again is a kickback against that.
Yeah. Well said, that man. Listen, Richard, I know you've got a little bit, I think you've got a track you want to play for us, which has got quite a good story attached, a bit of Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is a 1960s. I did hear it actually coming in earlier on the show, and as I was driving in, sounds absolutely marvellous. From 1967, it's when CD became a thing, all the record companies started to go back through their catalogue, and Motown were probably the most efficient at doing that. So the track originally was found by a guy, I don't know how he found it, but in 1981, just before the casino closed, a guy called Dave Withers was entertaining a group of people in a back room at an event I was doing with a whole raft of previously unheard Motown records on cassette, because that was really the format we listened to them then. And Dave very kindly cut me a 6-inch acetate of this particular record, which I was able to play at the casino in the last few months. Motown then did release it in the 90s on a compilation album called Love Starheart, which is all previously unreleased Marvin Gaye tracks, and bizarrely held a function in Los Angeles to promote the album when somebody at Motown decided to press 500 copies of the track on a 45 in a picture sleeve. I think they had a very good lunch, most people, that day, and as they left the records on the table, most of them. Somebody went round and scooped 300 or 400 copies of. I was lucky enough to get one of those, and that's now worth well over £1,000. So, but it's also, I think, his finest record, and certainly, despite what the Frank Wilson fan club say, it's the best Motown record ever to hit the Northern Soul scene.
It really is. We played a little bit of it earlier. I couldn't believe it was Marvin Gaye. Listen, we've all been dancing all afternoon to these tracks. I'm going to bring in Stuart now, who wasn't a dancer. You weren't a dancer, Stuart, for 30-odd years? You didn't like to dance, did you?
Yeah, no, that's right. So 35 years of my life, I just flatly refused to dance. And then a mate of mine called Martin one night said to me, let's go to a Northern Soul all-nighter in Brighton, it was, at the Concord 2, brilliant venue down on the seafront. And basically, every single record that I heard that night, I didn't know any of them, for starters, but every single record I heard that night made me want to dance. I didn't dance, but I went home and sort of bought some compilation albums and practiced at home. And it was my kind of like my start of a bit of a love affair with Northern Soul.
Goodness me, Richard, how does that make you feel? Because it is music that you just, you know, you can't help but move your feet to, and that's a wonderful story, isn't it? Yeah. Like somebody who's never danced, who always felt intimidated, it got him on the dance floor.
It's uplifting music. You certainly wouldn't feel intimidated coming to a Northern Soul night. And I've seen from the Deptford guys at one of their gigs recently, they were playing some fantastic records. I'll pick out the Volcanoes' Laws of Love, that you are introducing to a brand new audience, and that is what will keep the Northern Soul scene going strong in years to come when the likes of myself are probably no longer able to DJ.
You're not going anywhere.
Well, I hope not. But the music's a national treasure. It's as simple as that. And it's always had that sort of slightly underground feel to it. Even now today, it's not, as Elaine said, pushed in your face. You've got to find it. And I think that's what makes it so very special.
Stuart, what was the song that got you on the dance floor?
Well, I think it was this one, a great Motown record by the Velvets called Lonely Girl Am I.
Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
For both of us when I say it's been such an education.
Oh, it's been
the last 3 hours.
It's been a joyous education, hasn't it? And you can see why people become almost addicted to this, because it's an innate thing to just move to this kind of music.
Yeah, just brilliant. Listen, I have to... Lewis, Will, when's your next night? When can we all come along?
Tonight, at Moth Club.
We're there.
In North East London.
We're there.
Brilliant, brilliant. And Rich, when are you behind the decks next?
My next gig is Blackpool Tower Ballroom next weekend, the bank holiday weekend. I should be on stage on the Friday night.
Oh, I think we've got a few converts listening who are going to come along. And it's just been an absolute joy chatting to all of you, spinning the tracks over the last 3 hours. Lewis Henderson... Will Foote, Richard Serling, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And you, Johnny.
Thanks,
take care.
Claire. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Everybody have a great weekend.
The UK. This is BBC Radio 5 Live.